very amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I don't know if you can tell yet, but I just want to warn you up top, I had to get some dental work this week, and I am not able to fully speak the way I normally do. I'm a little self-conscious of it because I was like, yeah, it's fine. Once the numbness wears off, I can order coffee. I don't have to be nervous about that. It's totally fine. And then a couple days passed and I realized like, oh, I'm still swollen and my business is now talking into a $20 microphone. So I'm real sorry from the top if I'm not enunciating as much as I should. I'm struggling with S's. And just trying to make it sound good around it. So I apologize if anything comes through muddied. Just tweet at me and tell me you can't understand me, and I will happily let you know what I at least was trying to say. I was very concerned for a moment because I thought I had to get a crown. Ugh, I got a temporary one, and I was concerned I would not be able to eat popcorn for the 2.5-3 weeks between the temporary one and the permanent one. But never fear. I went to go see Mission Impossible in theaters last night because it's the anniversary screening. I went with my friends from Light the Fuse podcast, which is fabulous. If you are at all a fan of the Mission Impossible franchise, you have to listen to their podcast. It is the definitive word on the series. They have interviews with everyone, so many details, so much color. Absolute must listen. But I went with them to go see the film, and I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can eat popcorn. I can run around. I'm a literate. It's my tagline. I'm a popcorn fueled theme journalist. And thankfully, I was able to chew it. Acrylic, whatever's in my mouth, it's working and it's holding up its end of the bargain. I'm really hoping it'll be fine until the Avengers Campus events that happen. I'm very excited to go check out a preview of that land. I will be reporting on that to you in the future in every form of media that exists on the internet, so stay tuned for details about that. Cannot wait to have a shawarma. Oh, I can say that S. Shawarma! Very excited about it. And thankfully now I don't have to worry about my mouth like cracking open while I'm tasting my way through a new theme park land. Anyway, let's move on past my dental issues and my undying love for Ethan Hunt as portrayed by Tom Cruise. Because we have a huge guest today! It is our second ever Hidden Mickeys episode. And this week, we have Taron Killam! Taron Killam! Taron is an unbelievable actor and comedian and writer who truly has a prolific career. You may know him from Saturday Night Live. You may know him from the perfect television show that I'm very upset is canceled, Single Parents. Please watch it. Truly, the stuff about Lance Bass Space Camp should have won 100 Emmys. Just a bag of Emmys, they should have gotten it. Or you may know him from Stuck in the Suburbs, the Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM if you're feeling it, which he starred in back in 2004. He's officially been cemented into, like, Disney family lore because of it, which means that he is the perfect Hidden Mickey for season 2. Because you may not know it, but Taron is a major Disney Parks fan. To the point that we scheduled this interview specifically to be days after he returned to Disneyland so that we could get into it about his fresh thoughts and opinions about the parks. Keep in mind, this was after attending opening day on April 30th. This dude is one of us, and I cannot wait to ask him all of my Disney Parks questions, get his hot takes, see what he thinks about Space Mountain at Disneyland versus Disney World. I'm going to get all the answers, and I'm going to deliver them right into your ears. So I hope you're as excited for this episode as I am. It's a doozy. Taron is so much fun, and you're going to love it. So I'm just going to get into it. You don't need to listen to me anymore. Let's turn it over to him. Stick around, Taron's up next, and you're gonna love what you hear.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, party people, I'm not going to keep you from this wonderful interview. I'm going to get right into it and let it run long because, frankly, I had the best time chatting with Taryn Killam about all things Disney, all things Disneyland, all things Star Wars, a little bit of Marvel, a little bit of Club 33. It's all in this interview. I'm just going to let you listen and enjoy because he tells the funniest stories I maybe have ever heard. I had to stop myself from laughing many times. I had to choke back laughter. And if I ruined the audio for this episode, I apologize. I just blame him being so funny. Now, I do want to add up top for context, in case you are not very aware of the coolest couple to ever exist. Taryn is married to Kobe Smulders, who plays Maria Hill in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mentioned that because it will come up a little bit further into the interview, but in case you do not know and are deeply confused 45 minutes in, I just wanted to flag it. We talk about everything. We talk about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. We talk about Space Mountain. We talk about Coco and Goofy and Epcot. There is so much in this interview, and I'm not going to wait any longer to share it with you. So here is the fabulous, talented, hilarious, wonderful, kind, generous, and so much fun, Taryn Killam. So much for being here. This is
so
wonderful.
Happy to be here. I agree. You are my go-to for amusement park updates. You're the only voice I trust.
Oh my goodness. And I'm out here being like, I'm so sorry whenever people who aren't as invested in this, like when their whole feed isn't theme park news, I feel so bad that they have to see me be like, a new random hotel in Orlando is reopening.
I'm so excited. Because like you're also very discerning, which I find helpful. Like you're not just drinking all of the Kool-Aid. You're like, this Kool-Aid's a little watered down, which I sincerely appreciate.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, did they toss a packet of pink lemonade in with the bug juice? I don't fully trust them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thank you. It's an honor. I'm so happy to have you here as our season 2 Hidden Mickey. Tell me all about your weekend.
I had maybe my favorite Disneyland trip in a decade, really. It was pretty magical because it was my family's return to it after so long. The last time we were there was actually for the Super Bowl. In February 20. So like a month before it all shut down, that was our last time there. And I'm sure like many fans of this podcast and just theme park enthusiasts, when things got real was when Disneyland closed down. Like that was when like, oh no. So when it shut down, it was such a it just made things very real and like, oh, this is a big deal that's affecting the world and the land. So this was our family's first trip. Kobe and I actually went to the soft opening, which I think you did as well a few days before. And that for me, I don't know what I was looking for from that trip, but it wasn't the return to the happiest place on earth completely. There was some of that. There was like, okay, but I think I was looking to the reopening of Disneyland as like the end of COVID quarantines. It's done. It's in the past. We're moving forward. And like from the second I showed up at Mickey and Friends and had a thermometer pointed at my head and security and then walking the tram route with a bunch of other masked, you know, COVID survivors trudging into downtown Disney, I was just like, OK, yeah, no, it's still happening. We are very carefully and very discernedly moving forward, which is wonderful, but it's still going on. And I think like the idea of grabbing a churro and then huddling off to the nearest like fence to munch it as quickly as you can before a cast member very kindly comes and reminds you to never take off that mask. It was an adjustment for me. It was fun. But you know what? Like that thing you think you want of like, I'm going to have Disneyland all to myself. Like it's not even going to be the 25% because this is a soft opening added to the eeriness in a way. Where like Kobe loved it more than I did, but I was like, I'm looking at Main Street at 1 p.m. in the middle of the day and it's a ghost town and I think I want to see it full. I think I want to see it full of all the families, of everybody having a great time and then like three families having a horrible time. That's kind of what it's all about. That atmosphere is such a big part of my Disneyland experience. And so when the family and I went on Saturday, there was much more of that. And it was much more return to form and also just like my kids' enthusiasm for it and like wanting to go on a ride again. Like I was like, okay, this is it. We're back.
Yeah. I could see it being slightly dystopian to just like hear the Hello Dolly soundtrack play to nobody.
Yeah. Exactly. As opposed to like, oh, I'm here and I'm part of a community. It was like, how did they get the licensing done for this music? They don't own the rights to Music Man.
To me, I was like, the world has not healed until I've seen one father in a shirt that references how much money he spent on this trip.
Oh,
and man. Once I saw that, I was like, we're vaccinated and ready.
You have no idea how heartening it was to be in the lobby of the Grand Californian and see a dad yell at clearly his son-in-law because the dad's daughter had left her Jazzy, her Rascal, like parked in the middle. He's like, no, get her back here. You can't just leave this here. And I was like, okay, yeah. All right, the yin-yang, our chi is flowing in
the
balance.
The jubilation
again.
And misery of going to the family.
Yeah, it's that sweet and sour sauce.
I have to ask, what ride did your kids want to do again and again?
So many. It was such a joy. We started at Soarin', and then my littlest wanted to go again immediately, and my wife and elder child were like, no, we're okay. And so that was a joy of just like me and my baby doing Soarin', and she's so into the magic of it, and she's like noticing things, you know. She's like we're telling her about little hidden Mickeys within the ride, but she's also anticipating the whale splashing the water at us and reacting like she's covered in water now from the polar ice cap, you know. That was magical. So it was Soarin', and then we went counterclockwise at California Adventure. We actually did the Inside Out ride for the first time.
Oh.
That my wife and I bullied our children into, because even they could tell it wasn't worth it.
Wait, is that the family vibe? Is that you're like, listen, we're doing all the rides.
Try it all. Try everything once and then you know. And like we get and we were with a tour guide and he was like, like his voice never got to that octave again. But we're like, we'd like to try to do the Inside Out ride. He's like, okay.
He's like, that's not what I'm here for.
Oh my God. The second we got on, we realized our mistake because our 6-year-old literally couldn't look over the top of the purple box she was sitting in. So it's like she can't even enjoy the. And it lasted all of 17 seconds, I think. And so, but now we know. Now we know. So that was fun. But then Incredicoaster, my oldest. So after Soarin' and my youngest wanting to do that twice, my oldest wanted to do Incredicoaster twice. So that was a blast and a dream and special memories. And yeah, it was awesome. And the new Snow White, like that was it for me. That was everything.
It's great, isn't it?
It's so good. It's so good and so smart and simple, it seems, but I bet it was a headache because like we heard they did have to like take down structural walls and stuff, but they just really did a Disney magic makeover. And it's so, we went twice on that on a ride that normally it's like, man, should we take it or leave it, and we finished our night on it because it was so magical.
Was there anything that going back you felt like it hit differently? Like you just weren't expecting to be bowled over by it after a year?
Oh, that's a good question. That I'll say when I showed up, I don't know why. I obviously wasn't up on my news, but I was surprised to see Splash still operating. Like I think part of me kind of hoped that they would jump in on Tiana and Friends and strip it down. So it's nice, but you definitely like ride it in a woke way now. You know what I mean? Where you're like... I am here for posterity. I am taking this in, but I am not approving.
You have to, like, your face has to look like you're condemning it the whole time.
Yep. It's like you have to make sure that you're, you know, on the splash picture, you just, like, you can tell, like, a knuckle to the chin, kind of like, we should have known better. It was interesting. We got into it with our kids of, like, why? What's wrong with it? And it's like, such a great question. Well, nothing wrong necessarily with the ride itself. However, the folklore on which it's based was appropriated by a white author at the turn of the century who stole these mythologies from plantation workers and African-American culture. He appropriated it and took ownership of it and rewrote them. And then the movie from which this specific iteration of these characters is taken is a very revisionist history, an unhealthy portrayal of plantation life in the South post Civil War era, and they're just like, but it's a fox. And you're like, it's so much more than a fox. Yeah. You'll
enjoy
see
your last Take, glimpse
enjoy
of the fox.
Enjoy this innocence, because also just Tiana, it's just like such a smart, You already see how little work they have to do. like the riverboat, the Mississippi riverboat's already there. You know, at the end,
yeah.
and our tour guide said an interesting thing, that he heard a rumor that on the rise up will be Dr. Facilier's, like, oh, you read it, like, and who knows? I think that is just, you know, fan gossip, but God, that'd be such a great build up, going up, tick, 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 oh, you read it, and the voodoo masks. Oh, can't wait.
I know, neither can I. Oh, and yeah. Not just because I don't like going on it, because I don't like having a wet butt, but...
Our daughter, our poor 6-year-old, they put her in the front and she got drenched. She got drenched, but she's such a trooper. I mean, this was the magic of this trip, is that I've been going to Disneyland. It'll certainly average out minimum once or twice a year my entire life. I'm a Southern California native. My 8th grade grad night was there. My senior grad night was there. I've been a passport holder since I could afford one at age 19. And, I'm just dyed in the wool, diehard Disneyland fan. And like, my wife supports that. And my eldest child has been on board, but she has such a strong imagination that, like, dark rides for her, this really was the first time she was even able to go on the Incredicoaster, because the idea of being upside down was, like, too much. But my little one, she's my daredevil, she's my thrill ride. She's like, yes, 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 she's my yes ander. And at the end of the night, you know, closed at 9, this is the first time, and I don't know how long we were there with the kids, where, like, we were pushing it to the last second. We got off Snow White. My 6-year-old's like, I want to do Mr. Toads. I've never done Mr. Toads. And we did Mr. Toads. And she's like, the teacups are moving. The teacups are moving. Put me on the teacups. And so we squeezed every ounce of Disneyland out of it. And it was wonderful. Disneyland is great, but Disneyland at night is pure magic.
Absolutely. I just love that you're training your kids to be, like, ready for a theme park day.
I am so curious to see what my parentage as a Disneyland enthusiast does for their relationship with the park. Because my parents were certainly into it, but, like, I think my story was, like, it was the special thing, you know, like, once a year on your birthday, if you were really good, you got to go. But then in my teens had my, you know, my experimental Six Flags era. You know what I mean? Of, like, oh yeah, I don't know that the rides at Disney are hard enough for me. but then coming into that sort of, like, young adulthood, and I can own my own passport, and I can drive down at waking up at 11, and I can drive down and I can go get a corn dog and I can do a ride, and then I can really, you know, sit and enjoy great moments with Mr. Lincoln, like, that whole thing. And then taking in the history of it and reading Neil Gabler's biography on Walt Disney, and, like, really understanding what it took to make this park and how he was inspired to make it. And then, like, you know, Kobe and I have been so, so lucky that, like, we've been able to sit in Walt's apartment and then watch the Christmas parade from the little veranda that's out there. And we've been up on top of the Plaza Inn to watch the fireworks and the snowfall. And we've been spoiled. Yeah, my passion for Disney is very deep, that I wonder for my children if they'll be like, that's dad's thing. It's fun and we like it, but dad loved it so much, we didn't have enough room to love it as much or more. You know, I'm curious. Yes. We'll see. We'll see.
I was going to ask you later on, like, what's the coolest thing you've gotten access to? And you just dropped two things that I didn't know existed. I didn't know you could go to those locations to watch stuff.
It's very interesting. And I wonder, like, the Plaza Inn, the roof of the Plaza Inn, we could tell was very unique at the time, because long story longer, we were invited to the opening of the submarine ride, and for reasons of who cares, like, the car they sent was 6 hours late. Like, they and we didn't care. We had friends, like, they let us invite friends, and so I think we played, like, one of the best games of, like, what were you thinking, that rat. Like, there's, we still tell stories of sitting in our living room waiting for this car and playing games, and we still got to go. We went that night, and, like, I've never seen cast members on 11 in this way of, like, we are so sorry. We cannot believe we are. And we're like, guys, we're so grateful to be here. Stop. It's absurd. And they're like, at that point, I forget his name, but, like, the vice president of Disney Parks was Brian something. And, like, they're like, we have to take you to Brian. He made it. He wants to apologize. And we're like, this, you're almost making us uncomfortable. We're so grateful to be here. We feel so. And Brian was like, I am gonna make this up to you. I will make. And we're like, okay, fine. What, we don't, and, like, put it out of our minds. Cut to 6 months later, it's around Christmas time or whatever, and, like, Kobe gets an email from Brian of like, I want to invite you as my guest to the park. And we're like, sure. And I actually think that him inviting us was maybe the first time we ever had a guide, like a tartan vest guide. And so, like, just that was mind-blowing. We're like, no human on earth ever deserves this. This is such a luxury. Holy cow. The best day. So we just had the best day. And then they're like, Brian's going to meet us at 5 p.m. at a very special place. We don't want to spoil it. And so they walk us up to the side of the firehouse, to the back stairs, to go up into Walt's apartment. I'm already, like, tearing up. I can't believe it. I'm like, this is not happening. We get to go into his apartment. We get, like, we still have a picture of us and the three. We got to bring three friends standing in Walt's shower. Like, we're in the bathroom in the shower. And then Brian brings us out to the veranda, where there's, like, every perfect Disney cookie you could want and hot chocolates for everybody to watch the Christmas. It was like, and I just can't, I couldn't, at that point, I was like, it was out of body of, like, this is madness. And then Brian goes, like, oh, we're just getting started. And at that point, like, I almost walked away, because I was like, I can't. And so he said, because he said, I really felt bad about it. And we're like, Brian, that's so stupid. You invited us to go on a theme park ride at my favorite place that nobody had gone on. Like, this too much. And he said, never too much. So he said, we're actually taking you somewhere that I've never been before. And we're like, okay. And he walks us like through sort of the character, like, I'll say it's the northeast corner of the first turnabout, like next to Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, like where the character meet is, like through the, basically where the parade leaves or starts from. We walk back there. We look at all the float. We get to walk up to the floats and, like, see them all parked and, like, check things out up close. And he's like, yeah, isn't it great? And they're great. And they, like, retrofit the frameworks and they'll rebuild things, but we have storage houses. And actually, like, insider thing is that one of those storage houses will become the new Mickey Railroad ride north of Toontown, which was cool. Like, they're like, we didn't even have to build a new building. The building was already there. We're just finding different storage for parade floats. Anyway, back to the story. So they walk us down through the parades and we go up this, like, literal fire escape ladder and we stand on the roof of the Plaza Inn for the fireworks show and for the snow. And it was like, and he's like, isn't this cool? Like, you know, we don't really do it, but just, this is my way of that. And we're like, this is such a magical moment. It was absurd. And then he took us to the Napa Rose for dinner. And my friend who came with me, Mikey Day, who's now a cast member on SNL, proceeded to get pretty drunk only to Brian's delight. Like he, Mikey was going, he went so blue and so offensive on, like, I think there was a run on like, you should have a ride teaching children because it's for kids and it's the happiest place, but teaching them about like the birds and the bees, but you're teaching them about safe sex. Like, went on this whole tear, and Brian was like, the guy was laughing so hard, and Mikey, I'm like, okay, don't ruin tonight. That was by far the most magical night ever. And Kobe and I were talking about this like until the opening of Galaxy's Edge, which was like, we had the stupidest experience that night.
Yeah. I was looking back in your Instagrams to be like, what's his Disneyland story like? And I realized we must have been at the same media opening.
Yeah, I think so. That was just, I have asked my reps, this is like showbiz talk now, but I've asked my representation for like quote unquote favors for only two things truly in my whole life. One was to help me get season tickets to the Rams when they moved back to LA, because I love football and promised myself when LA got a team, I was going all in. So I said, connect me to who I need to, and they did, and that was great. The only other thing was like, if I'm not at an early opening of Star Wars Land, because if there's only one thing I love more than Disney or Rams, and that's Star Wars, is number one for me, always has been.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yes. Yeah, I mean, like, you can't see, but over my shoulders, these cabinets, I'm in the middle of cleaning my toys. and it's 85% Star Wars stuff behind me in these cabinets. And so I said, if you can't get me into the early, I'll retire. I'm quitting the business. Everything I've ever accomplished in this business has been to get into Star Wars opening. And so it worked that by the time we showed up, like, Kobe and I went early and just walked around because we were passport holders already. And then we showed up. We were like the first ones in line. Like, they're like, show up at 5:00. And we were there at like 4:37. And they come out and they're like, we're very happy to have you. We hear you're very excited about this. And I said, I'm sorry if you've been annoyed by people reaching out on my behalf, but I've literally called in every favor to make sure I get here. And they're like, oh yes, we've heard you're excited. So they take us from there. They take us to sort of the dream suite. I forget the official name of it, but above Pirates.
Yeah. And now it's 21 Royal.
21 Royal, exactly. So they take us in there and they give us the little tour and they show us the goodnight kisses and the magical moments in each room. And like, Brie Larson's there, and I hadn't seen her since she'd hosted. So I was like, hey, how cool is this? Because she's, I think, an even bigger Star Wars fan than me, which I didn't know until that moment. And so we're hanging out there, and then they say, it's time. And we go in, and just the process of walking through that archway from Frontierland into Batuu was just like everything I wanted it to be and more. And Kobe just kind of laughed and stood back like 15 to 20 feet from me, giggling, just filming me on her phone because she knew how much it meant to me. And she's like, this is cool, but she could leave it or take it. And I just did a full lap, just tears in my eye. Like, it's real. Star Wars is now real, fully real. And then they say, okay, we have a little holding area, which is like around the podcast engine restaurant. There's a little sitting area, and they're like, you know, holding area there. And so we go in, and I saw a couple people I knew, but I was just in that place where like, it's such a special moment, you want to absorb it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So I sat by myself in a booth and just kind of sipped my blue milk, which, you know, I'm not in love with it, if I'm being honest.
Oh, I have a strong rule that I don't eat blue foods. And
sure, great.
I gotta say, it lives up with the milk.
Even berries.
Oh, a theme park blue. Like, we're
understood.
Talking like a heavy
dyed
dye.
Blue. Yes. Okay. Understood. I respect that. Yeah, I was like, it's just a little too bubblegummy for me. I don't know. It's that artificial thing. I'm glad to do it, but literally give me milk with blue food coloring, because that's what I've always imagined and made at home. So I'm sitting there by myself, and a representative from my Lucasfilm, I guess, walks up, and if you ever watched anything that I or Bobby Moynihan did on SNL, we tried to get a Star Wars sketch in, I think, once a month. I mean, it was too much, where Lauren was just like, not again. But we were also like on the show in a time where Star Wars was coming back and they're doing, you know, The Force Awakens. So there was justification for it, but we probably did too much. So a guy comes over and he goes, hi, Taryn, I'm so-and-so from Lucasfilm, and I know what a fan you are. Would you like to meet Mark Hamill? And I'm just like, get the frick at it. No way. And I like, I would not have approached, but because I was in, I was like, of course.
Yes.
Of course. And for my birthday a year before, a friend had put together a birthday message from that Mark did, which was so generous, so kind. So there was something to at least like say other than like, me like Star Wars. And so I approached and like, and it, his kids were there who were really nice and we kind of know people in common. So like, I tried to be as normal human as possible, not immediately explaining that like, since I was in diapers, I would like play lightsaber battles from Empire Strikes Back with my older sister. Like one of the first sentences I learned to say was, that's not true, that's impossible. You know, like I played it cool. We're peers. We're buds. What's going on, man? How weird is this? Like, I think like once I like shook his hand, like, hey, thank you so much. And we start, I said, thank you for that video message. It meant so much to me and how cool. And I tried to play like, how weird is it for you to be here? Like in my mind, you can flash back to like Mark at 21 going like, I got to find parking for the stupid audition for some space movie. And now you're here. You're here in 14 acres of Disneyland dedicated to creating this, you know, like extraplanetary world. How, he's like, it's, you know, I never get used to it. There's always something new. And literally as he's like being very kind of talking, he looks down and he sees my shoes and I'm wearing Star Wars shoes with his face on them.
What do you mean? Like a little painting of his face?
They're Vans shoes painting with like the OG, like start like him with the stormtrooper blaster, like, you know, front and center. And he looks down, and he goes, nice shoes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a fan.
Of course, so, of like, all the shoes to wear, it's like the one with the biggest canvas for his face.
And I'm too deep into the day to have even like put that together before approaching him to like cross my feet or stand pigeon toed or whatever. So that was hilarious. And he could not have been nicer. And then I walk back to my table and now Kobe's talking to Kevin Feige, who she knows because she's done all the, and he's literally in the process of telling her, he's like, hey, so remember all that stuff you filmed for Spider-Man? We're doing a tag where it turns out you're a Skrull. And Kobe's just like, okay, cool. What is that? And I'm like, Kobe, stop. You're embarrassing me. And so like I end up, they bring us in. And so I end up standing next to Kevin Feige and Peyton Reed, who are just nerding out and telling me like the coolest things that they own in their Star Wars collection, which are deep. Like Kevin owns a cookie mold from Pepperidge Farm that they own. You know, there's only like three of these metal molds to make Star Wars cookies from 1978. So amazing. I'm nerding out. And it's like those guys on one side and then like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar standing 10 feet away. I'm just like, what is tonight? What is this? And then, by the way, you're going to regret having me on this because obviously I can talk about Disneyland forever.
This is the best, so far the best half hour I've had this year. Like okay, this is, because on my end, like the only stuff that my listeners have heard so far is us being like, yeah, like we had a few cocktails and then we went to write a story about sabers. Like is a whole different side.
Okay, good. But just, you know, say like permanecer sentavas por favor or something to like get me to stop and sit down. But
never.
So as you know, like, because you were there, you know, Iger comes out and he's reading from the teleprompter and it's like, that's cool. And we already know George is there. Like I met George's son Jet that night, who's like the nicest man in the world and actually loves it too. Like, I'm kind of like, are you over this? Are you like, in the same way I was talking about my kids and my passion for Disney, like, and he's like, yeah, he loves it too. And he's on board. So that was exciting. And George comes out and then Mark comes out and then Billy Dee Williams comes out. And that was like, whoa, because I didn't know that. And then, you know, it's a little bit spoiled because you can read the teleprompter. But Iger's like, he's not an actor. So he's like, hey, start her up, Chewie. And they have a Chewbacca in the cockpit. And he goes, and you hear the engines die down. And then I see the spoiler and he goes like, oh, no, Chewie. Iger's like, does anybody know how to fly a Millennium Falcon? And you just hear from off stage, like, I got it. And Harrison Ford walks out and everybody's losing their GD minds. And he's there kind of begrudgingly, but he's being, you know, in that sort of like sourpuss Harrison Ford way. But it's just undeniably cool. And he's like, hey, all right. And he walks over to the Millennium Falcon and like, now I'm just like, I got to take in every moment. So I'm looking between the stage and the teleprompter. And like, I start to get emotional because I see they're going to do a tribute to Peter Mayhew, who had passed away, I think, the week before. And I'm like, oh, man. And so Harrison walks over to the Millennium Falcon and he raises a fist to like pound on it. But clearly they'd not rehearsed it or something, because he turns and he goes, Peter, and then he raises a fist. But whoever's in charge of the lighting and sound cue thinks that that's the visual cue and hits play. So like before he can even hit the Millennium Falcon, it powers up. He goes, Peter, and over this loud light effect sound cue, poor Harrison has to go, this one's for you. And punches the Millennium Falcon, but it's like too late. Everybody's losing their mind. So this wonderful tribute, I watched it back like on the video, and it doesn't look as like poorly. You can, because obviously Harrison's mic'd, but he's, in watching it live, he's like, Peter, and everybody's losing their mind. And then they like usher them off the stage, and we're standing pretty close to the entrance for Smuggler's Run, but so is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So everybody's funnel, like every important person to Disney, Lucasfilm, everything, and then me, are standing in this bottleneck trying to get in. Like Kevin Feige is getting crushed between like Peyton Reed and Brie Larson. But they open it up and we get to ride it. It's so awesome. The only like extracurricular that I'd pledged to do is like this lightsaber build, because it had been built up so much. I was like, I have to build a lightsaber. We come off, our like guide who's looking out for us approaches and like, how was it? I'm like, I just flew the Millennium Falcon. Holy cow, that was the best. And they say, well, because we know what a fan you are and how important this is to you, we would like to invite you to Club 33 for an intimate after party. And Kobe turns to me to gauge my reaction. And I'm just like too overwhelmed at this point that I go, I go, oh man, can I build a lightsaber first? And the cast member had to go, yeah, there's a little bit of weight. I really think you should take them up on the 33 invite. The lightsabers will be here, Taryn. So I go, okay. And they're like, if you want, we can do a quick lap around the stores. And I go, yes. So we have our guide, then like one of the heads of guest relations is there too to facilitate this incredible 33. I've never been to 33. I can't believe I'm even getting to step inside. But my mind is still, because Star Wars is number one, like I have to capitalize on this opportunity. So there's three Disney employees following us around as I'm loading up shopping bags of Tatooine swamp frogs and like Jedi robes and Black Spire t-shirts. And they're like, so are you ready to go to Club 33 now? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I have a problem. And they walk us in, and it was insane, because they walk Kobe and I in, and we are literally the only ones there in 33, because 33's hours have closed down by this point. We're the only ones inside. So they like walk us around, give us a tour. They give us little towelettes to wipe our hands in and we go in the dining room, and the dining room's the same, but this is after they'd done the remodel. So the entrance was different, and the kitchen they'd moved into where the lounge, you know, the waiting room, the hunting room, or the trophy room is what it was called. And they walk us into the Salon Nouveau, which still is like where it's at. It's the only, even if you can go for the dining, the meals are great. It's good quality food. It's overwhelming. You won't be able to finish everything, but the Salon Nouveau is where it's at. And we walk in there, we're the only ones there, and we sit at the bar, and we're just talking to every bartender, every employee, like, how lucky are you that you get to be here? And they can just tell, like, me in particular, that I'm a spaz. And so they're humoring
me. Well, you must have been at like 14 out of 10. You must have been just rolling in there with deep energy.
I literally like am like pulling out handcuffs and chaining myself because I'm like, you'll never take me out if you're alive, you know? and it's just Kobe and I, and like, it's my first ever adult cocktail on Disneyland property. It's surreal upon surreal upon surreal. And I'm not exaggerating, we're the only two people there who are not employees. And so we're like, how cool is this? And everybody's so kind. And I'm already like, how do people become members? How do I do it? Like, I turned into Bobcat Goldthwait, like, I'd really like to know. And then we're there, and what we quickly understand is that they've done us a favor. And like, so at this point, both Kobe and I are on ABC shows, and Kobe is a part of the Marvel family. And so like, it's not completely unearned, but we also certainly feel like how are unworthy in that moment. And what it is, the reason 33 stayed open is that Disney Communications, not Disneyland, not Disney World, but Disney Corporate Communications kept it open for their team, who have organized the opening of this Star Wars galaxy and all the publicity and all of the food, all of the they organized the event, are holding their party there. And Kobe and I are just huddled at the bar, and they're having cocktails. They're congratulating each other, and they're like, you know, this is their victory lap. And we've had the place to ourselves for about 30 minutes, and we're already like on our third cocktail and just can't believe it. And the head of guest relations, who helped facilitate this, walks over and she's like, we just want to check in how you're doing. Do you think that maybe you would need a hotel room here tonight to stay? And then Kobe and I look at each other like, okay, we are invaders. They're worried that we're going to drink ourselves silly. Yes. And that we're going to crash.
You've
on the
crossed
drive
the
home
line into a potential liability.
This is too bad. Yeah. Okay. We see the red light. So we say thank you. And we say, we're going to actually, well, no, this is our last. And we cannot thank you enough. This is amazing. And now the park is completely closed. It's totally empty. So we walk from New Orleans Square through the park down Main Street with no, like, we saw a couple power washers already out spraying down the streets and sidewalks. And it was like, it will not get better than this. So that was like, those are the top two Disney trips until this most recent one, because honestly, like, without exaggeration, with as luxurious and privileged and exclusive as those experiences were, what I love about Disney is the sensation of honoring childhood wonderment and imagination and innocence and like that magic. So like your child going like, can we do Soarin' again, daddy? Can we do Incredicoaster? We went upside down. Like that is what Disneyland is truly about. So, you know, this most recent trip, I was so happy to be back.
Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, you kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid three times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these three times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey. And here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Idea you went so hard. Like I knew you were into Disney parks, but I didn't know. I also had no idea just the endless circus of magical moments that happened at that Galaxy's Edge opening.
I mean, it was like Christmas is a piece of crap now because nothing will ever be feel. I will never feel as giddy or lucky or, you know, like the bestest boy in the whole world. Yeah, I love it. It's truly my favorite. My dream for my 50th, birthday, my dream is to set aside 2 weeks, put out an itinerary, say like, if you want to join me, please do. But I'm going to spend 2 weeks going around the world, go start in land, go to world, go to Paris, then, you know, Shanghai, Tokyo, Shanghai, Hong Kong, come back all the way around, finish at Disneyland. That's my dream.
The world tour. How many overseas parks have you been to?
Just Paris.
Oh, we got to get you to Asia.
I got to go to Asia. I know I'm misguided in this, but Hong Kong is number one for me. I know that DisneySea is like that's where you go, or Shanghai and what they have, but Hong Kong, they made land for it. They made an island to facilitate, and I know it's small, and but that's number one on my list.
I completely get it, because a lot of people, you know, they kind of look down on the Hong Kong park. They're like, oh, it's a one day park. I went there and I had to cancel plans so that I could go 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Because it was like Disneyland, how it must have been maybe in like the 70s.
Great.
Because I went to the coffee shop every day to the point where they recognized me. And granted, like, I was wearing cartoon clothing and I'm just like bopping around alone in a foreign theme park. But they were like, are you back for your Donald Duck donut? And I was like, this is what it's all about.
I want that so bad. I'm glad you have it. I'm glad you had it. But I want it. I covet it.
Oh, my God. Do you think it's going to be too much for your brain to go to all of them at once?
Oh, man. Well, here's my hope. Probably. I think the answer is yeah. Yeah. Probably, like, there's no way I'll soak it in and get to be present. And but my hope is that what the after effects are, you know, like the first time I rode Rise of the Resistance, I wasn't able to take any of it in. Like, each new was like, what? And so I think, like, you do the tour and it's the sort of novelty of doing them all consecutively. And then hopefully I'll be able to pick and choose of like, okay, I need to return here to really take in A, B, and C. I think that's the best it can go.
Oh my God. I wish this for you. Also,
Thank you.
Did you ever get your lightsaber?
There's 6 lightsaber handles behind me. That's what the cabinets are getting cleaned out for.
Oh, so you more than made up for it.
one of the few things my wife has said, you can't do that anymore, is lightsabers. She's like, we can't do it anymore. There's too many. You have too many hilts.
But they're all different.
You have all the crystals. I know. But I literally could run my own build your own lightsaber experience out of my home office.
I mean, you would have the acting portion down.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And that, like, that secret vibe, you'd be fine.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Wait, what's your most prized Star Wars possession? What's, like, the one thing in that cabinet that you hold most dear?
I have, oh, gosh. I mean, there's impressive, cool things. We did a sketch where Louis Kazarian, who does all the special effect, all the makeup for SNL, is a huge sci-fi Star Wars, everything nerd. And he made a Fiddlin' Dan head, you know, for the Cantina band. So I have one of those signed by J.J. Abrams, and it says, "May the Force be with you." So that's a good one.
Nobody else has that.
That's a one of a kind, very cool, good one. Bobby Moynihan, in terms of the collectibles and the toys, is more intense than I am in a beautiful way, but he tracks down every Matt the Radar technician, which from the undercover boss sketch we did, the Kylo Ren undercover as Matt, like he finds all the kind of like custom toys that people do. So I have like an action figure of myself. I have several Matt the Radar technicians. I have Bobby's characters. So those are really cool. My favorite toy that isn't necessarily exclusive, but is from the 501st. It's my R2KT. Do you know that story?
I don't think so.
501st are this group of fans. They dress up as stormtroopers and they attend different conventions and different openings. And one of the top ranking members, his child got sick from cancer and her name was Katie and she passed away. And they built an R2 unit, a pink R2 unit called R2KT. And I think it's either Kenner or Hasbro, I forget who had ownership at that time, but they made an R2KT figure. It's my favorite thing because it's like beautiful, heartbreaking. It's the best of the Star Wars community in how they rally and lift each other and bring each other up. So that's kind of like, it's not necessarily the rarest or the thing, but it's just the one that means the most to me.
That's incredible. Yeah. Where are you at mentally about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser?
Oh gosh.
Do you have like all of 2022 even, on hold? Just
I can't
waiting?
Even. Well, like I feel like I've already called in so many favors, but it's like one, how do I get in? Mm-hmm. Like I got to get in. I got to get in. Two, who do I go with? Right? Because like my child is like, I want to do that. And I'm like, I want to do it with you so much. But my buddies, Nick and Jordan and James and Bobby, like they'll do it the right way. I love you, but you will hold me back and you will ruin it. And the first time you complain about your feet being sore or what I will try to force choke you to death.
I had a feeling this is going to be your exact answer. Like you have to be in that little capsule room with people that are at your level or above.
If you call them butter noodles and not, you know, like Celestine tubes or whatever, I literally like will disown you because I'm not your dad. I am Ronin Jedi Jorgun Mel, my original character I created for this experience.
You already have an outfit plan, don't you?
No, it's which one?
Which one?
Which one? Formal Jedi? Casual? With robe, without robe, light side, dark side.
This is exactly who they want there.
He's not just a hidden Mickey. He's a hidden Mickey spaz.
No, it's so nice because, okay, I'm not up to date on this, but are you Star Wars canon now? Were you just in a show?
Yes. So in a few ways. Really, I got to give all credit to Bobby Moynihan because he's so much better at making these connections. He's like a prolific voice actor, so he's on 7 cartoons right now. I'm not as actively pursuing it as him, but he's such a good friend that he always like includes me because he knows I do love it. So the Matt the Radar Technician orange utility belt was put in, on. Resistance, I think, or I always get them confused. Not Rebels, or maybe it was Rebels. There are a lot of animated shows now, but yeah. It's the one where they used Ralph McQuarrie's original Wookiee concept design for one of the characters. Anyway, they used that design of Matt, so that felt like the first dipping of toes of that maybe undercover boss does exist in the canon world. Then on that show, they had, in that episode where they dressed as utility workers, they had Bobby and I in to voice stormtroopers. So we are two stormtroopers in the back of that. So that was like, done, I'm in, that's canon, that's rad. Then more recently, Bobby and I got to do original characters on Bad Batch, on episode 4 of Bad Batch, and that was just the coolest because we did it in the room together. He's one of, I forget the species that it is, but he's one of the three-eyed guys from Return of the Jedi that's like cheering on Jabba's barge. I'm one of the Nia Nub type. They're Celestians. He's like a shady guy. Yeah, that was crazy. The way that Fiddlin Dan JJ mask came about was that he was a guest in one of like the Star Wars casting tapes where we do like, you know, an impression parade. It's just a revolving door. What? Who do you do? They literally walk around on writer's night and like, who do you want to do this week? But he was there to introduce it and got to nerd out and he saw what a fan I was. My coolest Star Wars canon connection is, he's editing Force Awakens. He calls me during a show week and he's like, Taryn, it's JJ. How are you? Sorry to bother you. I know you're working. I have a favor to ask. I'd done Harrison Ford the week before. He's like, you do such a great Harrison. I have this line of ADR. I don't have him for another 2 months. I got to get this reel in for special effects. Will you record one line of dialogue as Han Solo? And he left it as a message. And I spun out so hard. I spun out where like I responded within 5 minutes, maybe with six different takes. And it's just it's something like, you close the door, you look after Chewie. And he's like, it's like barked like a command. But of course, the nerd that I am like freaked out where I was like, you close the doors, you look after Chewie, you know, like just going like so emotive and so crazy. And then like I sent six and then thought about it for an hour and spun out more and then sent another take, which was like, he's like, you're just barking. It's active. And it's like, you close the door, you take her Chewie. And it was just like, did a bunch of things. And eventually he wrote me back. He's like, you're the greatest. I can tell I came to the right guy. One of these works great. And he said that they kept my looped dialogue in all the way till final audio mix. And the only reason that they actually had Harrison do it is he's like, I just felt weird. And we had him in the booth, so we did it. But he said, Taryn, nobody knew. Nobody could tell that it wasn't Harrison. And so all the way up until the final audio mix, through all the visual effects reels, through all the screenings they would do and test the screenings, I was Han Solo for one line of dialogue. It's I forget the name of them, the Rapthars, they're in that, like, you're in his zoo ship in Force Awakens, and then the bounty hunters come on and they're like, Han Solo, we're going to kill you, and they're running and they're loading onto the Millennium Falcon, and Chewie's been shot in the arm, and he's just like, you close the blast doors, you take care of Chewie, and they run on. So that was when I like truly authentically was a part of Star Wars for a month and a half.
Oh my god. Cool. I mean, that's ridiculous. You're his understudy.
It was insane. And nobody would ever know it until now. So
wow.
Thank you for giving me this platform.
Oh, I mean, literally everything you said, I could ask 4,000 follow-up questions, and I'm not going to bore you. I do, though. So I guess I was mistakenly under the impression that, like, once you've done enough things in the Disney universe, you know, like, between the two of you, you have Marvel, you have Star Wars, you have a little of everything. I just assumed that they, like sent someone to your house with a small velvet box that's like, welcome to Club 33, you are inside. I know I'm jumping back, but I'm shocked that your first time there was two years ago.
Yeah, no, and we are now officially members, but
as you should be,
but we did it, you know, we did it the way we paid the fee and we do the annual dues and the thing. And that first initial payment, because I guess once they opened Salon Nouveau, they also did away with their wait list. Like normally you had to put your name on the wait list and wait your time and stuff. And they sort of like were curating a little bit more now because I think some people fell off and then some, you know, they're like, so if you are interested, because that initial fee is like a kick in the gut, but if you are a golf club membership, you know, I don't play golf, but if you're a beach club, yacht, tennis, and it, whatever.
Yeah.
Like this is the only that for me. So
clearly,
obviously, so I was just like, Kobe, I really want to. And she's like, I support it. And then the annual fee is a little more justifiable if you're as hardcore as I am, because you get certain things. You get a certain allotment of tours. You get certain guest tickets. So it doesn't pay for itself, but it's a lot more justifiable in that annual due thing and, yeah, and in annual dues. And like, you know, we went back this Saturday and we sat in the Salon Nouveau and I had the strawberry crumble cake and it's just like, and we saw Slash.
Slash goes to Disneyland?
GNR. I think Slash is a 33 member.
What?
I know. That's my hot take.
A real hidden Mickey. Did not know
about
him.
Oh my gosh. Hidden in his own hair even.
Oh my, wow.
Yeah, it was cool.
I mean, oh my gosh. Of anyone, you should be a member. Like,
you're very kind.
You've earned it. Your family has been in almost every Disney franchise.
We just got it. We're trying to get our youngest into a Nat Geo documentary, and then I think we've covered every.
Yeah, you got to get a rare tropical bird. Then you
exactly
have every single bucket covered.
Exactly. That. Oh, and Pixar. We got to get in on Pixar too, which is like the dream.
I will be canceled if I don't at least mention out loud that you were in a DCOM. A Disney Channel original movie. Nobody yelled at me online, which I feel like falls under one of the categories. Like, you've checked almost all the boxes.
That's true. And since the release of Disney Plus, Stuck in the Suburbs never completely went away in a really weird way, in that like I got my dream job of SNL, which I'd actively pursued for a decade, and still every week after a show when I'd come out downstairs onto 49th Street, people would be like, Jordan Cahill. And all of my cool comedy friends are like, who are you?
Please tell me that, like, the autograph people before the parties would be giving you a headshot from that movie and not of you at that age.
They wanted Jordan Cahill. They also, there was like a Nickelodeon contingency of my time in Moody's Point on the Amanda Show. There's like, yeah, people are, if they're a fan, they're a fan for life. And I appreciate it. And like, shooting Stuck in the Suburbs in New Orleans at 21 years old, being there for a month, working 10 days, fake guitar playing badly, and getting to like enjoy Mardi Gras was like one of the best times in my life.
I mean, it sounds perfect.
Bring it on. It was a perfect job. It was a perfect job. And people love it. And they before Disney Plus, they would play it all the time, like minimum once a month. And sometimes at late night, you could always, like the era of Twitter was always so fun, because I'd suddenly get like alerts at like 3:30 a.m. of like, that was Taron Killam.
Oh, just every time remembering it.
Yeah, there's kind of two camps. There's kind of like the camp that has always known and was like, Taron Killam, and oh my God, I had a crush, and now he's on SNL, way to go. And then the camp that had no clue that was me, did have a crush, and feel duped now that the sort of like average white comedy star was the like Justin Timberlake wannabe that they had.
Okay,
like,
you can't call yourself average, please.
Oh, I'm talking about just in terms of like, I can stand in as like dad, you know what I mean? Like, I was stuck in the suburbs pop star, and now I'm just like suburbs dad and perfectly content with that.
But you're a great suburbs dad.
I'll take it. Thank you. I won't argue that.
Single Parents, fabulous show.
Thank you. I love that job. Yeah, I was sad that it ended, but was
so was
grateful.
I mean,
yeah.
Lance Bass Space Camp will go down as like the best thing any television show
there
has
was
ever done.
Mystery Senorita. There was so many good comedy bits in that show, and just the cast. I've never gotten along with my coworker. I've never had problems, but those are friends for life for sure.
Oh, that's so nice. And you can tell because the show was so great.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the only other thing I want to flag, if you have a minute, if your lightsabers aren't getting actively dusty.
Bring it. I took the batteries out. So.
Oh, thank God. So you got to do an experience that I will be forever jealous of, which was a private photo shoot with Goofy at Disney World.
Yes. And yes, at Epcot. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Because we did one at Disneyland Paris, but it wasn't private. But I know what you're referencing.
Yeah, because you got to go down the track of like, oh, a guest is coming. We will arrange a special moment for you.
Yes.
Was that as blissful as it sounds?
100%. And here's what's like kind of like weird about it is that like that was the trade-off. You know what I mean? Where that was the ask from Disney. Like, hey, do you mind coming into Epcot, the best park in all of Florida, with your favorite character for a private photo shoot before it even opens? And it's like, okay. And then you'll let us come to the parks and have a guided tour. Fine. Yeah, it's the best. Epcot, if I could steal anything from Disney World and relocate it to Disneyland, to Anaheim, it's Epcot.
What's your favorite Epcot pavilion?
Mexico.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
La Cava de Tequila. Queso, guac, tequila tasting. Put me in there. All they have to do is change 3 caballeros to Coco. And I already have the plans in my mind. Yeah, I say you replace the track with like translucent like plastic or fiberglass, and then you light it orange from underneath. So it's like the flower petals, and you're floating on the flower petals, and you go through, and like the first thing is just like sort of the town square where Miguel wants to play, and then you enter the land of the dead. It's all in my brain. And then the last is the ofrenda. Like that's the last little tunnel is the ofrenda there, and you see all the like. It'd be a perfect land.
Taryn, I've heard a lot of people say Coco, but nobody provides such good concrete evidence.
I literally have crayon drawn blueprints on my desk. I love 3 Caballeros, and I know like that's an important era in Walt Disney and to South America as a whole. But you know, Mexico is Central America, not South America. So 3 Caballeros, like, there's a little revisionist history if we're getting technical. And Coco, like, I think it's my number one Pixar. Like for years it was Ratatouille, but I think Coco is my number one.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is fabulous.
When we first saw it, we went like, it was like day, like 2 days after Thanksgiving. And it was like, you know, there's that Sony animation Book of the Dead or whatever, the Channing Tatum one.
Yes.
Where you're like, okay, so they got word that they were doing that. And this is the competition for that. Let's go see Coco. And then there was that, no offense, not superb Frozen short in front of it. So we're like, uh-oh, what are we in store for? And from the second it started, I remember the moment where I was like, oh, this is going to be great, which is when his abuela like throws the shoe at the dog and she goes, never name a stray mutt. Now go get my shoe. And I laughed so hard and I was like, danger, Taryn, danger. This could be some real feels here. And when he does Un Poco Loco at the talent show, And the guy goes, I'm proud of you. I lean over with like a crack in my throat. I go, that's his real grandfather, to Kobe. And normally she hates when I spoil things like that, but she went, no. And we were able to watch the rest of the movie kind of knowing that that was probably what it was. And knowing it does not detract. Knowing that that's his grandpa, it makes every moment after that so much more potent. And literally by the time they're thrown in the pit, and he does his memory, and they realize they're related, and the flashback in Sepio singing to his daughter. Niagara Falls. the rest of the time, just pouring down my face. Every moment, it's just hit from you know, his great grandmother singing, from the getting the bad guy, from the spirit animals to, you know what I mean? Like every moment from then on. And the and they finish with the best song. Everybody loves "Remember Me," and rightfully so, because it's a great song. But "Proud Corazon" is the best song in that whole movie.
Oh, this is by far your favorite movie. this has to be. Ratatouille's got nothing on this.
I know it a little bit.
Yeah.
So just change that ride inside that pyramid.
Oh my God! See, it must be hard for you to understand how story works, because I'm surprised by everything. I can't believe what happens in the end.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
I envy that. I certainly miss that a little bit, like the jaded knowing how the sausage is made kind of thing. But that's the beauty of storytelling, is like when it's good, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. See it coming, because when it's good and the performances, the music and the build and the editing and it you can't help but be taken away, even knowing you can't help. And that's why you like to rewatch a great movie, because when it's done well, spoilers shouldn't matter, I think.
Yeah. Did you ever go to the thing at the Hollywood Bowl where they did it live?
No.
Oh, they have it on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay. Okay, and they, I'll watch it.
I did an episode about projection mapping, and so they projection mapped like the Marigold Bridge over the arch of the bowl. It's cool. And they have it, I mean, it's filmed really well, so you don't have to like sit on a wooden bench and just bones hurt.
I love the bowl. We've done John Williams night, and we did a Mary Poppins sing along one that was super duper fun. But I never
did. You
saw
go to the Muppets when Bobby did it?
Yes,
that was the best.
No, I didn't. He just sent me so many pictures. I think I did. He sent me. Yeah, that looked amazing. I wasn't even in town. I think I was still in New York.
My God.
I might have been doing Hamilton then. I don't know. There was a reason I couldn't be there.
Yeah, because it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that. Like, for so many people who were there, I was talking to someone about this 2 days ago, and we were like, whatever he did to get in that show is like, oh my God, it was the best night of the bowl I've ever seen.
Have you had him as a guest on this?
I have not. Okay. I don't think I knew he was this deep in Star Wars stuff.
Like maybe theme park wise, I'm more intense just having grown up in Los Angeles and everything, but in terms of knowledgeable, like sycophantic, dedicated, and certainly collectibles, like he's the best. And anytime someone would come, like a guest through the Muppets would come through or whatever, he just knew everybody who did the, like he could recognize who's doing Kermit without seeing the puppet. He just knows that. He just knows it. And so,
Wow. Yeah,
David Rudman, he became friends with, who's done Gonzo, and David and Adam created Nature Cat, which is a PBS kid show that both Bobby and I do voices on. And so, but David was one of Bobby's first connections into the Muppet world, and they grew close, and Bobby's just very good at that and following up and being like, how are you? And being considerate and being kind. And he's just a lover of those kinds of things.
What a great friend to have come across, you know, two of you just worming your way through all the cool stuff.
I would not have survived that job without him. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, he was like sort of, he and Vanessa were, and Jay actually too. I was very spoiled to not just collaborate with, but like care for people in my sort of SNL class.
Yeah. You need a crew.
You need a crew. I had a good crew. I had a great crew.
Okay. I'm going to ask you some rapid fire questions.
Bring it.
Theme park Halloween or theme park Christmas?
Christmas.
What is your favorite Disney character?
Goofy.
Okay, great choice. Oh, you don't have to go fast. There's some longer ones. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. You said rapid.
I know. It's rapid, like medium level fire. Like turning the burner on and not sure if it's lit.
Got it. Yeah, Goofy of the classics. I love Rafiki. I love an eccentric, wizened mentor. Like Yoda is my favorite Star Wars character. Rafiki's like was my favorite sort of like Disney cinematic character. But that changes now. I think now I'd probably say Genie has overtaken Rafiki, just because who's better than Robin Williams?
Wow, big Genie fan.
Yeah, love Genie. Watch, I mean, you know, go back and watch Aladdin. That's one that, like, wow, what a performance.
I agree. What's the best theme park meal you've ever had?
The best thing, corn dog, Little Red Wagon corn dog.
Did you have one since
apple
you went back?
Slices? Yeah, I did the spicy one this time at Award Wieners.
Oh, how was that?
Spicy and delicious.
Oh, I went to Award Wieners during that food event and I got a cheese stick and it was not right. But then I got a corn dog at the Little Red Wagon and it was right.
Well done. Yeah. both my daughters are vegetarians because they hate the idea of eating animals. So it's like a moral choice. They mess with the cheese stick and they're happy. They're contented by it. And I say, good for you.
I need that corn dog.
Yeah. It's the best. I mean, you know, it's just like we've had delicious meals at the Grand Salon, but that corn dog can't be beat.
Agreed.
It's the waffle batter.
I know. It's so good. What's your favorite theme park land?
Wow. Critter Country.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What is it about Critter Country that grabs you?
It's the most relaxing. It's the most like down home, feel good, you know, like Country Bears, like I was a favorite when I was little. Country Bear Jamboree and Winnie the Pooh was my littlest one's first favorite ride, and we would do it literally like five times in a row. Splash has been my favorite ride, just in that I like a water ride. You get the thrill, but you also get the dark ride. And just, you know, for years and years and years, it was the only one that combined those things before Cars or before Rise. It was the only one that was like a combination of everything you love about Disney.
Wow. Okay, yeah. You sold me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And the little shops back there, I find them very charming. It's the land where the train makes the most sense. Anytime the train passes through, you're like, yeah, that belongs here. It just, everything comes together in Critter Country.
That's so funny and so true. You're right. It does make sense.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What's your favorite Disney hotel?
Okay. I mean, I haven't done the Star Wars Galactic Cruiser yet. But
I think this episode's dropping some hints. We'll get you in there somehow.
I will say Beach Club.
Oh, preach to me. Tell me more.
What a great water slide. To go right over the walkway. What a fun. It's not too much. It's just what you need. A sandy pool. How fun. And it works. And it doesn't necessarily feel so much dirtier than a normal hotel pool. And I can walk right the heck out of there. Walk for 8 minutes and have fish and chips in my hand in England in no time at all. What other hotel? A very close second, just for sheer convenience, is the Disneyland Hotel in Paris. I get out of the elevator and I'm at the gate. That's genius.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Your mind's going to be blown when you go to Tokyo and you stay at MiraCosta and you look outside and there's a volcano. I'm very excited for you.
I need it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I get a little freaked out by how small the building is. I feel like I'm in the wrong decade.
Mm. It is it's a time travel and it's the most un-California. It feels, I think there's something Floridian about it anyway without the Grand Floridian. And that, like, I've never actually stayed there, but I've been in there and I'm like, okay, if I'm on this lake, I want to be at the Polynesian. But the Polynesian for me is like, I'm in Adventureland. I'm in it. You know what I mean? I'm still in it. And I love a good tiki party as much as the next guy, but I can show up and I can have the voodoo skull cocktail and I can, to be able, the light, the brightness of it, the parking is great. Like the parking is right there. It's all a manageable parking lot. You walk right in. It feels, yeah, like 80s kind of what Tommy Hilfiger vibe, yeah. You know, like it's a little sterile, a little like nothing, but I don't want to be at a hotel. I don't want to be hanging out at a hotel at Disney. I want to be motivated to get out and get to the park. And that one motivates me to get out, walk 8 minutes and buy a beautiful Alice in Wonderland tea set in England. Walk across the bridge now. Go on Ratatouille if I want.
If you ever needed to prove your expert status, just hit after hit after hit.
I got the maps. I got the maps in my brain.
You have walked that walk many times before to know it takes exactly 8 minutes.
Do you know what? I've only been to Disney World 3 times in my life.
That needs to be fixed.
I agree. We'll go back. It's tricky. I'm still pro Disneyland because Disneyland versus Magic Kingdom, Disneyland has the history and it's Disney World is not more. It's just wider.
Oh, no, Taryn.
Yeah, it is.
No, there's
Magic
so much.
Magic Kingdom's not more.
Oh, no. It's so much
the rides
more.
The rides are shorter. There's not that many more attractions. Their Aladdin thingamabobber thing is the same thing as the Tomorrowland rocket ride. Since Disneyland added that Dole Whip hideaway area, like that's the best addition to any park in terms of just like functionality, and it, like that is the most brilliant. They didn't take that, you know, they took away Aladdin's storybook time thing that nobody, it was never open and nobody went in there anyway. It blends in. It's more of the world it's in. It's convenience for your Dole Whip for the best treat at Disneyland. You know, it's great. Magic Kingdom, it's just wider.
But no.
Yeah. Where's Walt's apartment in Magic Kingdom? Where's Walt's apartment?
That's not fair.
Sorry.
That's not fair. It's not our fault that he sadly and tragically passed away before it opened.
Well, is it?
But you have Cinderella's apartment.
That's cool, but we've got 21 Royal.
Yeah, but that's not Cinderella's home.
Right, but we got Sleeping Beauty's castle.
I'm not going to win this. I know.
I would love an itemized list of like shows and attractions. Magic Kingdom is not that much more. I'll be honest. The first time I came to Disney World in my mind was like every MMC, like Disney Channel show I watched in the 90s where Mickey's standing on top of the people of the world of whatever the big ball is called, the future technologies ride. Like Mickey's standing on top of it and
what?
Is soaring over. And I'm like, Disney World is going to be awesome because you go from park to park to park. And you show up and you go, no, it's just a swamp county. And then there happens to be 5 great Disney parks in there.
Taryn, I'm going to have to cut this. I don't want... You've done so well until now, and now I'm very concerned for your safety on the internet.
I love Epcot. Like, Epcot is a dream, and I'll take it for a second. And Animal Kingdom is exceptional. Exceptional.
Yes.
And the Banshee ride... Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, in terms of, like... And the reason I specified Magic Kingdom versus Disneyland...
Yes.
Give me Disneyland any day. There's nothing that Magic Kingdom offers to me that I'm like, whoa, I wish. It's like, hey, do you want a shorter Pirates and a shorter Peter Pan ride and a wider Main Street? Like, not necessarily. I'm okay.
I see, in my bones, I know you're right, but I think I thrive off the palpable stress of family vacation around me.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Everyone being stressed about being there all day makes me feel like I've really reached a destination.
Yeah.
Also, People Mover, Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, very underrated.
Okay. Like, I'm not saying that there are gems, but something to know about me, maybe you didn't know, is that a shuttle, a People Mover, a thing like that, like a tram of any kind, never been on a great one in my whole life. And at Disney World, like, you have to shuttle all the time. At Disneyland, you show up, you park, you're never in a vehicle again if you don't want. And to me, what Disneyland is that it's Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney Studios together, and you can walk to them, right? Which is basically what Epcot and Walt Disney is kind of almost. You know what I am more jealous of in Disney World in terms of people transferring people is the new Sky Chairs.
Oh, yeah, the Skyliner.
That I'm down for. That's because that's kind of a ride. And it reminds me of the OG Disneyland going through, you know,
yeah.
from
buckets,
Fantasyland
yeah.
to Tomorrowland. Yeah. So that I'm down with. Animal Kingdom, like, is cool and I love it. But it's a lot of design and not a ton of rides, right? Like, you got Banshee and you got Everest. We got Grizzly River Rapids. You got Kali. Cool.
Safari got, full of animals, though.
We've got, I, Yeah, zoos depress me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that's a thing. It's great. It's the best done zoo. Yes. And we've stayed at Animal Kingdom Hotel, and that was really cool. But I can't get my brain out of that. This animal isn't germane to this area.
Yeah. I've done enough like conservation Disney reporting to be like, it's fine. Like, we're good.
They're
we're
doing
good.
They're doing it the best they can. Yeah.
If you already have that in your head, you can't get
it's locked for me. Yeah. That goes global. That's outside of Disney. You've got dinosaur. We've got Indiana Jones. I don't need either, if I'm being honest. You know what I mean? Like, my back doesn't need either. My spine can't handle either of those.
I was going to ask you, like, your biggest Disneyland ride hot take. And
I think more like you need to pay me to go on Everest on Matterhorn. Sorry, Matterhorn.
Oh.
Expedition Everest is what I wish Matterhorn was. I wish they could take Matterhorn and put in Expedition Everest, because Expedition Everest, I think, is my favorite Disneyland roller coaster, including Incredicoaster, all of them. Expedition Everest is superb. And Flight of the Banshee is amazing. Like, I'm not an Avatar guy, right? And an Avatar doesn't feel inherently Disney to me. It's just a great business deal. That land is a work of art. The design of it is a work of art, and I love it. But, you know, and then we're done. I've never done a Disney water park there, so I bet I would be won over by that.
They're quite fun.
And this is, I mean, now we're going real crazy, but... Hollywood, Universal Studios Hollywood is a waste of my time after going to Universal Studios Florida.
That I don't think that many people would argue with you on, because their footprint is just so small. Like, we say, like, Disneyland, like, oh, they're blocked in. Like, no, not like Universal Studios Hollywood is.
Totally. It's totally not their fault, and they're doing the best they can, but it's an afterthought. And if you see 13 Grimmauld Place, and then you go through the wall into Diagon Alley, and then you take the Hogwarts Express, like, everything out here is just kind of like, it feels like a school project diorama recreation of what's happening in Florida. But to me, like, if you know, you can only have one Disneyland and all of Disney World. As much as there's stuff I love in Disney World, give me Disneyland.
Wow.
I know. I'm sorry.
I
know it's the nostalgia. I know it's like being a Southern California native, and I know it's, you're used to what you grew up with. You know, it's like LA versus New York, same kind of a similar argument, I think. But Disneyland Magic Castle, like, it's not a competition to me. It's like, it's not even you can't even compare.
Wait, Magic Kingdom or Magic Castle, the magic place?
Sorry. Yeah, Magic Kingdom. See,
okay.
I can't even remember the name. It's like, that's not even it. You're just a stretched out Disneyland.
Oh, but you'll never see. But aren't you tired of taking the turn, walking down Main Street and being like, where's the castle? Doesn't that bother you?
No, because if we're talking about pure aesthetic design of a land, nothing beats Paris.
Agreed. Fully agreed.
You see that castle from every spot in the park, and it's the best Big Thunder Mountain.
It's all beautiful. It's like beautiful, and then there's little like trash cans with ashtrays for smoking cigarettes. It's like a very weird juxtaposition.
Cool. That's what Walt would have wanted.
It is what Walt would have wanted. Oh my god. Okay. The last question. Space Mountain, Disneyland, or Disney World?
I'm gonna say Disneyland. Not that it's a better ride, but I like sitting next to my child. I'm literally 2 days out from sitting beside my child on Space Mountain, and so it's that. Like,
you're
it's
right.
Same thing with Splash. Like, in Disney World, I love getting to sit next to somebody. I love it. I like a side-by-side.
I've never thought of it that way, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So nice to finally officially meet you.
Hi, Carly. This is Heather. I'm calling you from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I just needed to let you know that there is a Shrek box in South Philly. So it is just set up like a little library where you can take a Shrek and you can leave a Shrek. And there have been onions and fan art and video games and DVDs left. And it is just amazing. And I feel like you need to know about them. They are on Instagram at Shrek.box and also on Twitter at Shrekbox. So from our swamp to yours, now you know about the Shrekbox. Thanks so much. Bye.
You know, there is nothing I love more than being the person you think of to call when you see something Shrek-related. I love it. I love it. I hope it never stops happening. It is a blessing. It is a gift. Now, this Shrek box is extremely real. I have seen this a few times in recent days, and it's utterly hilarious. When I checked the Instagram a few days ago, there were drawings and photos and onions, so many onions inside of it. And it's such a fabulous, kooky, and fun idea. Ugh. I love it so much. Now, according to BillyPenn.com, Shrekbox was founded by Will Kuiper and Lauren Devlin, who found a newspaper box a while ago, as one does, I guess, and only recently had the idea to shove some green-tinted whimsy into the world when Will put it outside his home. He told the website, "It really blew up. When I did it, I had no idea. I just thought it would sit out there and maybe get some giggles. But with everything online, it's just nonstop outside my apartment." Now, the interesting thing is the box was born on May 10th, very recently, and has since almost instantly gone viral on TikTok. The account 99 Cent Burrito, incredible, has a video of it, and it's so great. It's now stuffed with so much more stuff, so I highly recommend you go on their Instagram to see it directly. Now, you have likely been hearing a lot about Shrek lately, a bit too much for it not being December, if I may, and it's all due to the 20th anniversary of the first film. I love it. All of the public discourse should be about Shrek constantly. I was actually interviewed by Refinery29 about Shreksember and somehow managed to make some sense and say some vaguely wise things amid my regular spiel of, "He's Jewish, I swear, it's an allegory of old world stuff." I actually like said real quotes and sentences and couldn't believe it when I saw the story. So you should definitely check it out. It's wonderfully written. It's not like that trash Guardian piece that rips Shrek to shreds. Shrek to shreds would be a great band name, by the way. But anyway, you should check it out. It's on Refiner29. It was a good time. Again, if you are new to Very Amusing and you are very unsure of what's going on right now, I highly recommend you go back and listen to the very first episode of Shreksember, which explains everything. Shreksember will be happening this and every December for the rest of my life, I guess. My body just like couldn't produce a word when I said that. It was like, no. But yeah, we're doing Shreksember, body. Get on board. Every December forever. Until they put Shrek in a Hanukkah sweater at either Universal Park in America. That, if they do that, maybe I'll call it quits. Until then, it is a never-ending battle cry for some sort of Hanukkah anything in the theme parks each and every November and December. So yeah, thank you so much for calling. I'm so happy that we can talk about this box in the middle of spring and we don't have to wait till the cool, chilly months of December to honor our Hanukkah hero.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
That's that's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you so much to our very, very special guest and Hidden Mickey, Taryn Killam. You can find Taryn on Twitter and Instagram and also on Twitch, but his usernames vary a bit between all of them. He's Taryn Killam on Twitter. And on Instagram and Twitch, he is Tarzan Nosy. Get it? Because Tarzan without a Z is Taryn. Pretty smart. Pretty smart. You can also find Taryn on the forthcoming season of American Crime Story Impeachment, which follows the Bill Clinton Monica Lewinsky scandal and debuts later this fall. But in the meantime, you should absolutely watch Single Parents that was on ABC. The show has very sadly since been canceled, but it's fabulous. I've seen every episode and Taryn is wonderful in it. And then you and I can joke about all the jokes in the show because there are so many and they're very, very good. So while you're waiting for that, why not watch Single Parents at my recommendation? I think you should do it. You can rate, review, follow, subscribe, propose to, fall in love with Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your pods. If you, I don't know, if you're feeling good, you're feeling generous, you want to just give us a little 5-star rating, write a little review, subscribe, send to a friend. We appreciate it. We appreciate it very, very much. And I personally thank you from the bottom of my little Olumel Grinchy heart. I love him now. I love him now. I do kind of, I'm falling for Olumel heart. Anyway. if you have any theme park questions, opinions, predicaments, pretzel announcements to share, thoughts, rants, anything, you can reach us at 747-CHURROS. You can also email us now a little voice note or a little cryptic tip, anything you'd like, to 747churros@gmail.com. Now, if you're like, this is not enough amusing for me, I am like mildly amused, I gotta kick it up a few notches to be even more amused, come join our Patreon! Patreon.com/CarlyWeisel. For $5 a month, we'll grant you access to weekly Churros Q&A newsletters, a monthly zine, and mini-sodes throughout the month where we talk about everything from theme park updates to little fun research-reported little things. Thank you to our latest Patreonies, Sarah, Heather, Alex, Marika, Emily, Ashley, and Samantha. Thank you so much for joining the party. I'm so happy to have you here. And if you would like to be just amused in text format throughout the week, you can find me, Carly Weisel, on social media at my name. I got my name. There's no other Carly Weisel apparently in the world, which is good. It's good. It makes life very easy. So you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, and you can find my Facebook group, The Fomaly, by searching my name. It'll show up. I think it's facebook.com/groups/CarlyWeisel. It's probably that. Very Amusing is edited swimmingly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See ya real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. Oh, you got in trouble today. Oh, my goodness. But I think out of all this, it's a good thing. And I think for your birthday coming up, I'm going to get to the Olumel. I think it's called Olumel. I'm not sure. The turtle guy. Anyway, I'm going to get you that because I'll get you a little purse or something. It'll be very cute. So I've learned a lot about Duffy and Shelley May. When I remember when I was with you and we were in Disney maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe even longer, we went into a store and they had Shelley May and they had Duffy. No, they didn't have Duffy. They only had Shelley May. And I was really upset because I wanted Duffy. So I bought this giant Shelley May that turns into a pillow. It folds and opens with Velcro. And I really wanted Duffy, so when I got home, I took a scissors and I gave her a little haircut. I cut off that big pink bow at the top of her head, and then she became Duffy. So that's a little secret. Yeah. Anyways, I really enjoyed having, when you had Charlie and Eva on, they were great, and I can't believe you got busted. They knew everything that you said about Olumel. Oh, my God. I'm dying for you. That's very funny, but I know now you are reformed and you like him, and that's going to be wonderful, and I think the fans will like that too. All right, sweetie, another great episode. Yes, it's 3 a.m, and I listened to it, so I just didn't want to go to sleep. It was so good. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, sweetheart.